Yes, amen. Go ahead and high five somebody and say, I love my church. Come on, come on, come on, high five them. Yes, I love my church, praise God. Yes, indeed. Listen, we're going to jump into some good things right here. Just want to encourage you on this Sunday. Next Sunday, we'll be starting a new series, you know, Made New. But this Sunday just led to want to encourage you in some particular things. Anybody ever have to deal with something in their past before? You know, just like what you heard in my story, you know, where Tanya was sharing, you know, what she had to deal with in her past. And I know I've had to deal with things in my past and so forth. But I want you to know that God is the one who's always been present there with you in your past, your present, and your future. He's the one now that has called you to overcome. But I want you to remember what the psalmist says here in Psalm 118, verse 24. It says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So give you an opportunity. I'm pausing here to give you an opportunity, not just simply to read the word, but to respond to the word. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Okay. See, the psalmist was talking about a time that was to come. It wasn't during that day when that psalmist was speaking. He was talking about a time that was to come. And I got news for you. The time that has come or was to come is now. So when we read it and say, this is the day the Lord has made, then we're talking about right now. Or how we used to say in the hood, right now. You know, right now. Almost like there's a rat running around. It had to be so fast. Right now. This is the day the Lord has made. And then the conclusion to it is, well, if this is the day the Lord has made, then we will rejoice and be glad in it. So let's take about 10 seconds just to rejoice and be glad, because God is with us. Glory. Come on now, give him honor. Give him glory. Give him praise. Come on, 5 more seconds. Daddy, we bless you. We magnify you. This is the day that you've made for us, and we're rejoicing and we're glad in it. Glory to your wonderful name, because you're always good unto us, despite what it looks like sometimes. Never forget that. This is the day, this is the time, this is the moment the Lord has made. So you want to choose to respond like it's an opportunity. Watch this, for growth, for increase, an opportunity for you to seize a moment with God. Right here, right now, in this moment you are existing in right now, there's opportunities in the kingdom for you. This is the day the Lord has made. And that's why we rejoice, and that's why we're glad in it. But there's certain things I want to make sure that we focus in on. As what I wanted to take some time just to minister on this subject of live in the moment. Someone say this, live in the moment. Live in the moment, because this is the day, this moment right here, this time, this is the day the Lord has made for you. Rejoice and be glad in it, because there's grand opportunities available to you right here and right now. 4 points I want to give you. Number one is this, root yourself in your present situation. Root yourself in your present situation. Luke chapter 19, I love this passage and what Jesus was explaining here. And he's approaching the city of Jerusalem. And when he gets to it, he starts to weep. Just a few occasions that we have in scripture where Jesus begins to cry and weep. And it says here in verse 41, it says, but as he came closer to Jerusalem, he saw the city ahead, he began to weep. And this is what he says. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. Notice what he says. How I wish today, in this moment. I wish you would understand the way to peace, the way to shalom. It says, but now it is too late and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited you. Some translations say you didn't recognize the time of God's visitation. You didn't understand that this was the day, this was the moment that God had made for you. And Jesus was trying to help them understand that the Son of God now is present right here in your midst, and y'all don't recognize. And it brought a sense of grief to his heart. So now he's weeping over the whole city. And then he's prophesying of what's going to happen. Because everything he says happens now a few decades later, where the whole city of Jerusalem is leveled completely. And people obviously are murdered. And Jesus is weeping because they didn't understand, watch this, how to live in the moment that God had for them. Root yourself in your present situation. Now here's a challenge that we can have sometimes. We can have a challenge with looking back. And sometimes if you don't watch it, you can get overly fixated on looking forward. Let me say this for you. You'll see it on the screen. Have vision for the future, but don't let your days waste away in a constant state of daydreaming that is never accompanied by intentional effort. Sometimes we can get stuck in a state of dreaming. Just like, yes, and then watch this, we'll spiritualize it. I'm believing God for. Okay, that's good. I'm glad of that. But what is your behind doing? Faith without works is. So just because you're dreaming, well, I'm dreaming for this, I'm believing for that, and this is what's going to happen, I'm going to have this. Okay, that's good. What are you doing? Well, I'm believing God. Okay, good. What are you doing? Well, I'm praying every day. Great. What are you doing? You got to make sure you're getting active and making sure that your activity is following now what it is you have faith for, that you're declaring you have faith for. Just like what you were hearing my wife, you know, sharing, you know, that she had faith for certain things, and she just realized, like, yep, I need to go back to school on some things. I need to learn, you know, some other things, you know, as well. I said, yep, great. And she's right. When she came to me, you know, with that one particular time, and she was just like, yep, I'm about to, you know, let all this go. I was like, yeah, you know, you kind of passed, you know, the particular time. Says, and at the end of the day, you can do it anyway. So just keep pushing forward. She looked at me funny, and I get criticized sometimes. She'd be like, you just act like you don't care. It's like, I care, baby. I'm just going to keep you moving forward. With all of us, we're different. So you have to allow other people's strengths to help you in your areas, maybe where you're not as strong. See, there's areas where my wife is stronger than I am. There's areas in her life that I'm stronger than she is. We're not competing with each other. We learn how to complement each other in those things. Root yourself in your present situation. Here's another concern that you have to have with that. You cannot operate in a sense of neglect. Neglect will not create relief. I see it often. Sometimes people don't want to fully address what's really going on because they just don't want to deal with it. So they just try to move on, hoping that somehow it's going to go away. Well, it doesn't work like that. It's still going to be there. You know, I shared with you all, you know, maybe a few months ago, got this notice in the mail, just out of nowhere from the IRS, and says, you owe us $16,000. That's with the penalties and so on and so forth, XYZ. So I said, well, yep, the devil's a liar, and so is the IRS. You know, so we responded to it, says, well, okay, I think there's a mistake here, you know, XYZ. And their response was, well, you need to prove it. I was like, how in the world are we going to prove it? I said, okay. It is well. Now, there was a temptation to be like, you know what? Forget it. God, I give it unto you. I'm just not going to deal with it anymore. Okay, I did give it unto God, but God was like, you better do something, boy. Because whether you know it or not, them folks not going to stop. IRS does not stop. And so some time went by, and kind of trying to research some things, find out what's going on. Had to send some correspondence to one particular company. You know, like, wait a minute, what is this that you're reporting? We thought maybe it might have been a case of identity theft, you know, so forth. Just wasn't sure. And then one day I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm working on something else, and it's just a download by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God just dropped the answer on the inside. I said, oh. And my wife was right there. She was working on something. I said, this is what's going on. And she looked at me like, oh, okay. So immediately started acting on it. again, corresponding with IRS, says, ah, I think we understand what's going on. This is a mistake, and here's what's going on. Make a long story short, once we sent that to them, they said, ah, yep, you're right. We got it. Case closed. Don't worry about nothing else. I said, well, thank you, Jesus. But we had to root ourselves in that present situation. We couldn't act like, well, maybe if we don't say anything, they'll forget about us. Ladies and gentlemen, the IRS ain't gonna forget. You got to deal with the situation. Stay in that moment, praise God. It's all right. You can handle it. Here's the second thing that's really key for you in living in the moment is you can't get stuck in the past. You cannot get stuck in the past. One of the shortest versions or one of the shortest verses in the Bible is Luke chapter 17, verse 32. And Jesus simply says this as he's talking to his disciples. He says, remember Lot's wife. I rehearse this verse often. Remember Lot's wife. Jesus was preparing his disciples in how to be ready for his return and the coming of the kingdom. And as he's preparing them, he says to them, remember Lot's wife. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, you got to understand the story, you know, of Lot and his wife. Of course, Lot and his wife are in family, daughters, are there in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. At the time that God was bringing destruction upon those cities, God is at a place now where judgment is coming upon those cities and God is ready to wipe those cities out. But God had made a covenant with Abraham that he would not destroy the righteous with the wicked. He says, I will get the righteous out of there. And God sends his angels in there to do just that. Now you read the whole account, there's some stuff going on there. I'm not even going to try to go into that today. There comes a point though where now the angels are like, it's time to go. And the thing that you have to understand is with all the encouragement they were getting from God, they still didn't want to leave. The angels had to forcefully take them out. And here's where we pick up and read right here in Genesis chapter 19, verse 16. It says, when Lot still hesitated, the angel seized his hand and the hands of his wife and two daughters and rushed them to safety outside the city. They had to take them by the hand. They had to snatch them out of there. For the Lord was merciful. When they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered, run for your lives. And what's this? And don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away. Then you drop down to verse 26. What happened? But Lot's wife looked back as she was following behind him and she turned into a pillar of salt. So she loses her life because she looks back. So when Jesus is encouraging his disciples, says, remember Lot's wife, he's trying to teach them this lesson. And here's the tragedy. The tragedy of Lot's wife is that though she was delivered by God from a destructive environment and launched into a brighter future, she forfeited it because she wouldn't let go of her attachment to the past. She forfeited her deliverance. She forfeited her future because she couldn't let go of the past. And let's be clear, the past wasn't that great. There may have been some good things that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah for her. Possibly so. But whatever the case, you can't tell me that it was overwhelmingly sweet because it was Sodom and Gomorrah. A destructive, challenge, you know, environment. So she forfeits this. Listen, when you won't let go of attachments to the past, you create an environment for it to repeat in your future. You know, with our impact story, you know, what Tanya was talking about in the sense of abuse. And here's something that I've seen in cases like that and others, that you can have some tragedy like that in your past. But watch this. There was also this person that you were in relationship with that you had this love for. So your heart is almost confused because it's just like, man, you know, this person, I fell in love with this person. But your mind is like, yeah, but this person beat me. But your heart is like, yes, but I know they can be so sweet. And if you don't watch it, you can continue to look back to the past or something like that, and how, you know, your heart, you know, was once so warm and attached, that you'll start to create an environment, watch this, and you'll go into a new relationship and it'll be the same thing. And you see individuals, and you've seen it, and matter of fact, you may have even experienced it, where you've gone from one bad relationship into another one. And then, watch this, women or men will say this, well, you know, it just don't, no good men, ain't no good women. No, wait a minute, maybe it's something wrong with your choosing. And maybe you're choosing bad because you're still stuck in your past. Oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Help us, Lord, help us, Lord, help us, Lord. Listen to this, you'll see it on the screen for you. Living in the past may generate temporary feelings of fondness, joy, and delight, but they will eventually give way to more long-lasting feelings of regret, envy, and depression. So it may start off with this sense of fondness and joy and delight, but listen, if you stay there long enough, it's going to give way to regret, envy, and if goes unchecked, depression. So here's the encouragement. Move past how it was. Enjoy what you have now and expect greater things in your future. Come on, say that with me. Move past how it was. Enjoy what you have now and expect greater things in your future. Move past how it was. Listen, I'm gonna teach something right here, because I know I've had individuals, you know, that's like been a part of Impact Church, you know, for years, and maybe, you know, back when it was Faith Christian Center and so forth, and individuals sometimes will come to me like, I remember how it was. Move past how it was. Enjoy what you have now and expect something greater for the future. I don't know how many individuals I talked to, they're just stuck in the past. Just stuck. Just like, praise God for the past. We learned some things from the past. Yeah, there were some great things that happened in the past. But enjoy what you got right now and be ready for the greatness that God has in the future. Come on. God wants to do some things exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. But you can't do that when you're stuck in the past. Turn that neighbor around. You say, let your past go. Third is this. Failure is not final, nor is it a reliable indicator of the future. Now, we've talked about this before. Failure is never final. But neither is it a reliable indicator of the future. Because sometimes individuals would look at me just like, well, you know, that's the way you've always been. That's the way you're always going to be. And sometimes we'll even make silly statements like that. Well, this is who I am. This is how I've always been. You know, and this is how I'm going to be. Wait, whoa. Pump your brakes. Give room for growth. Give room for growth. In 2 Chronicles, we've been reading through, you know, that in our daily Bible reading. And so we've been seeing the different accounts of kings and so forth. And one of the best kings that Israel, you know, ever had, and actually he was over Judah at the time, was King Hezekiah. Oh, man, he knew how to rally the whole community to God. Then he has a son named Manasseh, who becomes the king after him. And interesting enough, this son, scripture says, reigned over Judah for 55 years, and he was horrible. Says he was bad, he was evil for the most part of those 55 years, for the very most part of it. And we pick up right here in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 9. It says, but Manasseh led Judah and the citizens of Jerusalem off the beaten path into practices of evil, exceeding even the evil of the pagan nations that God had earlier destroyed. When God spoke to Manasseh and his people about this, they ignored him. Now let us not gasp as if we've never ignored God. But Manasseh ignored God. He's leading the people away. He has a great example before him in the way his father led. He ignores that. He begins to do things his own way. So much so that God says, man, this guy is doing worse than the nations I had y'all destroyed that don't even know me. He said, what is wrong with him? And it got so bad. It got so bad that God was just like, there's nothing I can do, you know, anymore here. Nothing I can do. And now the enemy comes in and takes, you know, Manasseh captive. And what does Manasseh do when he gets into that deep, deep trouble? Lord, if you come through this time, I will serve you for the rest of my life. And the scripture said God was moved with compassion. Delivers him out of bondage, restores him back to being the king. And when he gets back to being a king, oh, he's different now. Come on now, he begins to clean out the temple. He begins to set, you know, just new order, you know, in the whole community. People didn't even believe him because they were so used to his evil practices. But what I want you to understand and see is that your past is not necessarily a reliable indicator of your future. Just because it was bad in the past doesn't mean it's got to be bad for your future. Just because, well, I went through this, I went through that, and if I wouldn't have done this, you know, maybe God could really use me. God can use you right where you are, just how you are. Doesn't matter about the past. You know, I like sports, and I can remember a basketball game, Golden State Warriors, and Steph Curry, best shooter in the history of the NBA. There is no debate. He's having an off game. He's coming down. He's putting up his threes like he normally does, and nothing is going in. First quarter, nothing. He's 0-for. Second quarter, nothing. He's 0-for. Third quarter, nothing. He's 0-for. Team is struggling, and they're battling. You know, I forget even who they're playing. And later in the game, maybe about that fourth quarter, about halfway through the fourth quarter, here you have a situation where Steph, you know, gets the ball, and he's not even really that open, but he makes a move and he puts up the shot again. And what happens? Drains it. And that shot was pivotal and key to making sure that the team was able to win. Now, here's the thing I love about this, and here's a lesson we got to learn, that even though you're missing, keep shooting. You know, I do some coaching of basketball. So this past year, you know, coached, you know, my son's, you know, JV team. And so my encouragement to every player was, I don't care if you miss, but I do care if you don't shoot. If you're open and you won't shoot, you can't play. Period. You won't shoot, you can't play. Everybody has to be a threat on the court. Well, Steph understood this, that, listen, just because I missed the last one doesn't mean I'm going to miss the next one. So keep shooting. Listen, you may have had some situations in your life where you failed. Just like what you heard my wife talking about. Well, she didn't do that well on that quiz. Okay, let's get over it. Let's keep shooting. So she stayed in the game. She kept shooting. And as you heard, still wind up ending up with an A in the class. I said, yeah. I said, come on now. God is faithful. He says, but watch this. Faith without works is dead. You were working that thing, girl. You were working it. Yeah. You got to keep shooting. Just because it's hard, just because it's difficult, just because it didn't work last time, keep putting up the shots. Keep that ball going up, praise God. And as you do so, you'll find, watch this, that victory will break out. That one shot Steph made was key and pivotal for his team to win. But he never makes that shot if he comes to a point of, I've been missing all game, I'm going to pass it to Clay. Steph was like, Clay, I know you can shoot, but this ball in my hand, I'm going up. I don't care if I'm 0-for-15, this ball is going up. And he went up and it went in, and it made all the difference, you know, for his team. Tell your neighbor, keep shooting. Doesn't matter the pass. Let me give you the last one is this. Because this goes right, you know, in line with what I'm just sharing. Because it didn't work then doesn't mean it won't work now. Because something didn't work back then doesn't mean that it won't work now. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 6 says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. So what did that mean? That meant they had been out fishing and now they're done, so they're cleaning up, you know, afterwards. It says, stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, and Simon is Peter, says, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Now notice what Simon Peter's response is. Master, Simon replied, Master, Master. Come on, some of y'all have been around long enough. He doesn't address him here as Kyrios. Now you're just master. Now you're just a teacher. Now you're just a rabbi. Now you're just a preacher with an opinion. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. Now watch this. He says, but if you say so, I'll let down the nets again. Now you have to understand, because if you keep reading, after they caught all these fish, Peter came and fell at Jesus' feet in repentance. Because what he was saying here, but if you say so, I'll let down the nets, he was patronizing Jesus. He's patronizing. He's just like, whatever. We've been out fishing all night, okay? We've been fishing all night. We've caught nothing. So now I know you're supposed to be, you know, him and all that. You're supposed to be him. You went to, you know, him at the university, all that. We know. So because you said that, all right, we'll do it. But he has no expectation of it working. He's just patronizing Jesus. Now listen, don't patronize God. Don't patronize God. Don't just do it because, well, that's what God says. I'll just do it. Have some expectation in your efforts. Come on, watch this. Don't just tithe just to patronize God. Come on, don't just give just to patronize God. Don't just serve just to patronize God. Come on, have some expectation that, you know what, as I'm honoring God, God is honoring me too. That's great things coming in my life. And so Peter had to bow and repent, because he wasn't expecting anything different, because his mindset was, it didn't work then, so it's not going to work now. And let's be honest. Peter felt like he knew more about fishing than Jesus. The problem is, Jesus knew more about Peter than he knew about fishing. Huh? See, God knows more about you than you know about your stuff. And I get it. I've been doing ministry for, you know, a number of years. And I see those particular moments where people kind of shift and be just like, okay, well, preacher, I think you've now kind of stepped out of your zone. You know, this is kind of what I do for a living. So how are you going to tell me? Just like, yeah, you don't understand. I understand you better than you understand your stuff you're doing. That's what happened with Peter here. We're professional fishermen. You're a rabbi. You don't know what you're talking about. But to be respectful, I'm going to just do what you said. And thankfully he did. He got a great result. Listen, you see this on the screen. Dreams that may have crashed and burned before get new life when God speaks to you about them. Learn to listen to his voice. Come on, if you're going to live in the moment, you got to learn to listen to his voice. They failed all night long. But when God gets involved, just because you failed, now the same thing you were doing that you failed at can be the explosive breakthrough for you when you will lean into his voice and not be afraid to obey him. Yeah, it may not have worked then, but it definitely can work for you now when you listen to his voice. Please lift up two hands under heaven with me right here. Make this declaration out loud with me. Father, I commit to listen to your voice. Holy Spirit, speak clearly to me every day of my life. Draw my attention to the revelation of the kingdom. Speak clearly to every situation and circumstance and relationship in my life. My ears are attuned to you. And where you say go, that's where I will go. When you say stay, then I will stay. I trust your voice. Your voice is reliable. You are a guarantee of goodness in my life every single day. So thank you, Lord, for speaking to me. My past cannot control me. My fears will not dominate me. I surrender to your word, your will, and your instruction. Thank you for making me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, if you agree with that, come on and rejoice for a moment. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for making us new, that we hear you clearly. We know your voice. We know the voice of our good shepherd. And a stranger's voice, we don't hear and we don't follow it. We lean into you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.